Well, what I can tell you was that yesterday afternoon, late afternoon, driving quite close to the Sea of Azov along the coast road, I could see a large plume of black smoke rising from the sea. And members of a militia battalion here called the Azov Battalion said that it was a Coast Guard cutter that had been hit by fire from the shore. And that appears to have been confirmed. The Ukrainian government spokesman or the military spokesman said that a Coast Guard cutter had been hit. There has been some confusion about whether it was hit from the air or whether the two were hit, but I think it was one, and I think it was hit from the shore.
Describe for us, if you will, Tim, the sense there in wider Mariupol. Who's in control there now?
Well, Mariupol is definitely under the control of the Ukrainian authorities, but people are nervous. They've been building trenches along the edge of the city, and Ukrainian control extends a little bit beyond the city. Then there appears to be a sort of no-man's land, and then it's under the control of the pro-Russian rebels. But people are nervous here. A lot of people have been leaving the city, and other people are preparing or bracing themselves, should I say, for the worst.
Lithuanian president has said that Russia was practically in a war against Europe. But this is a war, isn't it, that Europe won't fight? And yet there have been calls as well for the US and Europe to arm fighters there in Ukraine.
Well, that's right. I mean, US legislators yesterday started calling for the arming of Ukraine. Ukraine needs, it doesn't so much need so much conventional weaponry, but it needs intelligence, drones, and various other pieces of equipment. But it doesn't need sort of, you know, vast amounts of just sort of ordinary guns. I mean, those it has, but it does need technical advice and certain bits of technical equipment and intelligence, that's for sure.
I mean, you say, Tim, it doesn't need vast amount of guns, but I mean, you know, the strong suspicion is that there is a stream of supplies coming across the border from Russia, arming the pro-Moscow rebels. I mean, has Kiev really got the ability to defend itself in perhaps the medium term against this kind of insurgency, an insurgency fueled and supplied by one of the world's greatest military superpowers?
Well, I mean, if it doesn't have a means to defend itself, it may not be a question of not physically having enough Kalashnikovs and weapons. It may be other reasons that it may be to do with organization and military preparedness. But certainly the Ukrainian military in the last couple of months did a lot better against the insurgents. Now, with much more apparent help from Russia, it's suffering a reverse. So it's sort of, you know, the tides of war. First of all, they were against Ukraine. Then they were the Ukrainian side definitely came back, retaking a lot of territory. And now, with help from Russia, so it seems the tide of war has turned again.
So, looking forward, as we always try to, is it too late for a political solution, do you think? I mean, what might that look like if there is one?
Well, it's very hard to say what a political solution would look like, but certainly if there was no more help from Russia, then the rebels here would certainly have to sue for peace or they would be defeated. So I think it's more of a question of, you know, what are other people going to do about Russia? And I think, as you said in your head, that the EU has delayed us talking about further sanctions against Russia for a week. Well, it'd be less than a week now. There are supposed to be talks taking place in Minsk today in Belarus, but let's see what those lead to. But I don't think that anyone should put great store by those.
Well, just talking of Russia's position on all this, Tim, we've heard from Vladimir Putin over the weekend calling for statehood for eastern Ukraine. I mean, what do you read into the subtext of all that?
Well, I think that he's just sort of turning up the pressure. I think that's exactly what he would like. I mean, basically to destroy Ukraine and rip off this part of Ukraine, although his spokesman later tried to sort of downplay it and said he wasn't talking about independence for this part of Ukraine. But certainly that's what the people who lead the two republics, Lugansk and Donetsk, which make up Novorossiya, which you mentioned earlier, certainly that's what they want.
And Just on the question of more sanctions, I mean, it does feel like whatever price the sanctions is costing Russia, it is a price which Moscow is willing to pay for a much desired kind of victory or appearance of victory.
Well, exactly. And having realized that, that's why there are increasing voices now calling for the arming of Ukraine. Basically, either tell Ukraine, look, you know, just give up, or we're going to arm you. I mean, that's the debate is beginning to come down to that now.